K-pop quiz time. For those of you who got the email blast, in the opening section I said I learned that I don't have a specific anointing. Anybody remember what it was?
Cotton candy,
that's right. I am not good at making cotton candy. I learned that at the social that we had on Sunday. So much fun, but working outside with that pink and blue burning sugar, it just got everywhere, and I came in here and I looked like a punk rock sheep. I was just covered with this stuff, and I don't think that shirt is going to make it. That's what I discovered. What was happening was I was working with the cotton candy, and then I would get covered with the sugar, and then I would work with the snow cone machine, and it would just soak into my shirt, and then I would come into the air conditioning, and it would freeze. So I was kind of a mess, but I learned something else about myself this last Sunday. It was really hard to learn. But I think I'm too old for the bounce house. And I'll tell you, sounds like you guys knew that already. We waited until everyone left, you know, so as you guys would not be jealous of our jumping skills. But Davis, our nephew, we called him the balloonie when he was here because he was doing such a great job twisting all the balloons. But Davis and I decided we would go jumping. And I have a really contentious relationship with bounce houses, and little kids that find themselves in bounce houses when I'm in there also don't like when I'm in there. But we waited. We waited till the end. So Davis kind of egged me on to go in, and I kind of said, that's fine if he's going to do it. And we're pretty much the same age, right? And you know, same weight class, right? Why are you all laughing at that? So we went in, and I noticed after like two jumps, I don't have it in me. We pet a French bulldog later this week, and it was wheezing like crazy. I was the French bulldog in the bounce house. I was wheezing and coughing, and I think I lost some sort of muscle that little kids have. You know, Sam was in there for a half an hour straight jumping up and down. I was in there for 8 seconds. And I was in the fetal position in the corner of that thing, gasping for air. And that's not an exaggeration. And I thought pretty quickly in there, what am I doing in this bounce house? And I just knew that they were going to have to deflate it around me, and I was going to have to cut a hole in the net to get out. What am I doing in here? Davis, of course, is jumping and doing flips and all this stuff. And I had the realization, I'm not as young as I look, guys. Fine, you can laugh at that. But, you know, it was just a goofy moment for me, and I realized I had no idea what I was doing there. So we're in the gospel. Jesus is walking through Galilee with his disciples. And what's interesting is he says right at the start, or it says in the gospel today, he didn't want anybody to know that he was there. If you remember what happens when Jesus is in Galilee, the people come running to see him. They swarm him. And when he goes across the lake, they swarm some more to the other side of the lake. You know, tens of thousands of people will come to see Jesus at a time. But he wants this special moment with his disciples, which means he's going to be sharing something really important for them. And so as they're walking, he starts to share. He starts to say that he's going to be betrayed. He's going to be betrayed by his enemies, and then he's going to go to the cross, and he's going to die. He's going to die for the sins of the world, but, and he shares this truth here, but in 3 days, he will rise again from the dead. And what do we find out next? That the apostles don't say anything. The disciples don't share anything at this point, right? You remember the reason it says in there? Because they didn't understand what he was saying. Now, we are all experts in discipleship here because we've been doing a 4-week study on discipleship and what it means to be a true disciple. At this moment, these are bad disciples, correct? Because they're not listening. And when they're not listening, they miss the most important truth of the universe. Jesus is cluing them in to this amazing revelation. He's telling them that he's going to die, but he'll be raised up again from the dead. He's cluing them into the crucifixion and resurrection ahead of time. But the disciples don't ask him any questions. They don't say anything. They weren't listening. That's bad discipleship, is it not? Have you ever found yourself in the middle of a conversation and realized, oh no, I have no idea what this person was talking about because I was thinking about fajitas or cotton candy or something just completely random, and you just kind of nod along. I'm imagining 12 disciples nodding along to what Jesus is saying, completely devoid of actually paying attention at all. And they don't say anything because they didn't understand. That's bad discipleship, isn't it? And it would be bad discipleship on its own, even if we didn't know the reason for them not listening. But we find that out next. Because now they settle in a house. And Jesus asks them a question. Now, whenever Jesus asks a question, it's important to remember that he already knows the answer. Because he's Jesus. He knows everything. And so when he asks a question, it's really more for the person who's being asked, isn't it? I think in this moment, he's wondering if they have the courage, or he's inviting them to show that they have the courage to just say, I'm sorry, I was not paying attention. But of course, they're silent. Because at that moment, when they're walking on the road, at this pivotal moment in the gospel, what are they doing? They're arguing with one another about who's the greatest. And it's not, you know, I want to be at the bottom. Everyone wants to be at the top. You know, it goes me and Thomas and then Judas and James and someone else. No. It's Andrew. You know, it's me. I'm Andrew. And I got Peter right below me. That's my bro. And then James and John, I knew them from around the way. And that's the top. That's the top tiers, right? And while they're sharing all of this, Jesus is telling them the truth of the gospel. Isn't that sad? What did they miss? You know, it's not just enough to be there, is it? You actually have to listen, too. It's not just enough to be in God's presence. You actually have to listen and focus and use that time so valuably. Because what I learned from this gospel today is that you only have a finite amount of time with Jesus in this life, with the option for eternity later. But you only have a finite amount of time, just a limited amount that you can share from him and learn from him here in this world. And I'm sure that every one of those disciples on Good Friday, when these events were actually going down, thought to themselves, if only I had a little bit more time. If only I would have paid attention more. If only I took advantage of that time with Jesus. And ironically, had they done so, they wouldn't have to be worried at all because Jesus had just revealed that he would be raised on the third day. But I think that in sharing this gospel lesson, this is a gospel confession. Because I have to imagine that the disciples were really ashamed of the way they reacted on the road. And of course, this is in Mark. And who wrote Mark? But Peter's disciple. And that means Peter dictated this story to Mark. And it's a story that I'm sure Peter was deeply ashamed of. And he had to have asked himself, as he was telling this story, about Jesus telling the truth of the universe to the disciples. And here he is talking about who's the best. He had to have thought, man, what was I doing there? What a waste. What a waste of my time with Jesus. You know, we only have a finite amount of time with Jesus in this lifetime. And so I ask you all this question, knowing that you have a finite amount of time, that it's already decided how much time you are going to have with Jesus in this world before eternity. What are you doing here? You know, how are you using this time? It's not just enough for you to be here. But what are you doing here with this time? You know, it's not just enough to be at church. We're not committed to being churchins, after all. And some of us, you know, maybe our parents took us to church. And then we just kept on going after that, and now it's just become routine. Or maybe we just follow the pattern, or maybe we like to talk football with these people, or politics with like-minded folks. You know, maybe we're just here because we're trying to sort of deal with this guilt, or, you know, good people are supposed to be at church, and that's why I'm here today. Or trying to appease some angry God. What are you doing here today? Why are you here at church? What are you doing with the time that you have with God? Our role at church, our entire reason for being here, is to worship our Almighty Father in heaven, to thank Him and praise Him for who He is and what He has done. To adore Him, to listen in closer. Not to be distracted with the things. And I think it's an important question that we ask ourselves every single time we come before God. What am I doing here? Do not leave this place without putting aside all of the things. Think of the time that the disciples wasted arguing with one another and not listening and telling Jesus how they could do it better than He does. Think about the time that we waste putting our agendas forward, being distracted with all sorts of little stuff. Knowing that our time is limited in this world. Knowing our time is limited before we're with Jesus for eternity. How are we spending that time with Jesus here? What are you doing in here? It's a time of praise. It's a time of worship. Use this time valuably. To listen to God and to grow closer to Him. That's what you're doing here. And so use that time to the fullest. Let's pray. God, You are always so present among us, and yet so often we can allow ourselves to be distracted, so unfocused, just going through the motions, the routine. And yet, Lord, we don't want to waste a single second of You present with us. Even in eternity, those times are precious. And Lord, we ask You to burn in our hearts the real truth of why we're here. To continue to keep us focused on Your gospel, on Your presence with us, and Your Spirit among us. Lord, we take just this moment to just be quiet before You and ask You to reveal Yourself to us and speak to us through Your Word. Lord, we ask that You would help us. Don't let us waste a single second of Your presence. Don't let us waste a single second without worshiping, praising, and adoring You. Help us to know that You are the reason for why we're here. And it's through Your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.